17 hours, the 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe, on Sunday, July 27th, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening, live from Washington, our marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, Zimbabwe's Norman Mukwakwami, one of the 500 young African leaders on the Washington Fellowship, is selected to present a paper at the town hall meeting to be hosted by U.S. President Barack Obama in Washington tomorrow.
It's a wonderful opportunity to be able to have a front seat at the town hall where President Obama will be addressing the 500 young leaders. I think the biggest takeaway will be to hear firsthand the American government's position on how they want to engage with Africa's youth.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, ZCTU, leadership embarks on a countrywide exercise to engage its members on discussions regarding labor law reforms.
To consumers, we say there's no need to panic. We'll be able to bring in all plant wheat to the country, millet, and guarantee that the price of bread will not go up and availability of bread is guaranteed.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo. Zimbabwe's Norman Mukwakwami, one of the 30 young African leaders representing the country at the Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders Conference, has been chosen to present a paper at the town hall meeting hosted by U.S. President Barack Obama in Washington tomorrow. YALI is a flagship program of President Barack Obama's Young African Leaders Initiative that empowers young people through an academic coursework, leadership training, and networking. Mining engineer Mukwakwami says he was chosen to lead a group from the University of California, Berkeley, to present a paper at the meeting. The 2014 Washington Fellows Groups, together 500 sub-Saharan Africa's most promising young leaders, ages 25 to 35. The fellows have established records of accomplishment in promoting innovation and positive change in their organizations, institutions, communities, and countries. Mukwakwami tells us more about his experience in the USA so far and what he hopes to cover in his presentation.
It has been a very enlightening experience. We have received lectures and policy analysis, strategic planning in issues like racial segregation and how the topic has changed from the 60s until today in a place like America, and how we can relate such issues with similar issues back in Africa. We've also managed to have site visits to unique places like Google and Oracle and some national parks and museums in the U.S. It has been a very enlightening experience to see how Americans are quite similar to people back home in Zimbabwe and Africa at large.
You are now preparing for the big conference, which starts Monday, where you will have an opportunity to also meet with the President of the United States, Barack Obama. How are you feeling about this, and what do you think you're going to take away from this experience?
It's a wonderful opportunity to be able to have a front seat at the town hall where President Obama will be addressing the 500 young leaders. I think the biggest takeaway will be to hear firsthand the American government's position on how they want to engage with Africa's youth from now into the future. And also, it's also a platform for us, the young African leaders, to be able to let the American leaders know what we feel are the key areas in which they should engage us. I am lucky to be one of the 25 young African leaders who will be given a chance to also speak at the summit and give lightning talks on different topics, where we'll be able to tell the American government what we feel they should discuss with African leaders when they come for the U.S.-Africa summit later on in August.
So how are you preparing yourself? How do you prepare for such a big role?
Teamwork. We will sit down as a group, all 25 of us here at the University of California, Berkeley, And we have tackled an issue that we feel we should address at the summit. And I just feel like I will be the voice of all 25 people here at the University of California in Berkeley.
That was YALI fellow Nomen Mukwakwami in California. The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, ZCTU leadership, has embarked on a countrywide program to engage its members on discussions regarding labor law reforms in the country. ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo says his organization has divided the country into six regions and has already covered most of the regions, expecting to conclude the exercise this coming week. Moyo speaks to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
This is a team exercise by the leadership to meet workers. We have been meeting structures over a period of time, and the president decided now to go a bit further down and meet even ordinary people. However, this time coincides with this problem we are facing as a country, the economic meltdown, the push by capital, deregulate labor laws. So the president is taking advantage to explain what we are doing as a labor center, and also trying to get a feedback from the members. How can we respond? Can we just merely watch the countries being run down? And, what type of measures can we take to make sure that our voice is heard?
That was ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri in Harare. The Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe's chairperson Tafadzwa Musarara says although wheat production is low in the country, bread prices will not increase. Musarara says despite the low production, the country will be able to import wheat should the need arise. Musarara speaks to us on the issue.
The country is expected to have harvested close to 30,000 tons of wheat last year. And definitely this is a far cry to the 400,000 tons of wheat that the nation requires every year. We have last year we did 370,000. This year we are worse in terms of the wheat harvest. However, there is more wheat in the world than maize. Zimbabwe national requirement of 400,000 is compared to what the world can produce. So we have the capacity to bring in the 400,000 tons of wheat into the country should there be no production. As an association, we've made efforts to support farmers, but sometimes, you know, the power issue affects the irrigation of wheat and other intervening situations also militate against the wheat production. To consumers, we say there's no need to panic. We will be able to bring in all the required wheat into the country, millet, and guarantee that the price of bread will not go up and availability of bread is guaranteed.
That was the Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe chairperson Tafadzwa Musarara in Harare. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And we now turn to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by a young lady named Beatrice Sawajike, who is the director of Real Opportunities for Transformation Support, also called Roots, who is launching a campaign to end child marriages starting next week. Beatrice, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Can you tell me more about your campaign? Why exactly were you interested in doing this issue of young women in marriage?
Thank you very much. The campaign is called Not Ripe for Marriage. It's a campaign that we're doing to end child marriages in Zimbabwe. It was inspired by the Girl Summit that was also happening in London. And besides that, we also have a high prevalence rate of child marriages in Zimbabwe. And according to the research that was done by an organization called RAO, 31% of girls in Zimbabwe will be married off before they reach the age of 18. And it's a huge number that concerns us as young women living in Zimbabwe. And also there's a lot of abuse of young women, especially in issues to do with rape, where, you know, when a young girl is raped, they are married off to the perpetrator. And that's how a lot of girls are being married off. One of the key drivers also of child marriages in Zimbabwe is poverty, which needs to be addressed at a national level. It's to do with issues of governance, good governance. So that's what inspired us to start the campaign. Our organization primarily focuses on economic justice for young people.
What will be the components of the campaign?
One of the things that we are trying to do with the campaign is to do a multi-sectoral approach, because we know it's to do with the issues of our law currently permits girls to be married off. It's not in harmony with the Constitution of Zimbabwe, which recognizes that all people under the age of 18 are recognized as a child. Yet we have laws to do with marriage and consent, saying a young girl can be married off at the age of 16 and a boy child at the age of 18. So that discrepancy already at a political level, and as a country, we are saying it's okay for our girl child to be married off. We are trying to work with chiefs, because we know chiefs as custodians of culture in different communities. They also have a role to play in terms of influencing how people behave and engage in communities.
Who will you be working with on this campaign? What are some of the people that you've tapped to come and join you?
We'll be working with high-profile individuals such as Honorable Jesse Majibu, identified champions of the campaign. We also have males who are part of the campaign.
Let me just go back to one of the points that you spoke about, the first one being the law. Can you delve on that and what that means?
That discrepancy, to me as an individual, speaks to the lack of political will to advance young women's rights, to respect young women's sexual and reproductive health rights. And as a nation, we are saying it's okay for our young girls to be married off, for our young girls to be raped. And as a society, we are saying this culture that we have fought into to normalize the marrying off of girls is okay.
And then also the topic of the chiefs themselves, they are the custodians of tradition and traditional values in the rural communities. You said you will, of course, be working with them throughout the campaign. Can you just talk about how effective that will be when you bring in the chiefs to deal with this issue when we look at the girl child?
I think our campaign is a 6-month campaign, but we're going to have a bigger, much bigger campaign. For now, to raise awareness in communities, to get people talking about it and dialoguing about it, because the issue has become so normal that people do not see any evil or consequences of child marriages. We're also working with the apostolic sect. We have the president of the youth association called Mighty Tanda as part of the campaign. So also approaching these people, when we look at issues of religious fundamentalism and how young girls are married off in the apostolic sect, is also an issue why we want to champion the issue of ending child marriages. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is when we were having interactions with the apostolic sect, we also realized that we also need to be having conversations with women in Zimbabwe, especially in the apostolic sect scenario, where we have women also playing a role facilitating the marrying off of young girls.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. Also, women, mothers, aunts who also partake the move to send young girls to be married. Now, the campaign itself, of course, is going to be 6 months, but it's an ongoing thing. What's your hope in the nearest future?
We are continuing to deal with this issue. We are calling for a multi-sector response, because we know as an institution, we can only go as far as raising awareness, advocating with the government to harmonize the laws that we have and the constitution and other organizations. But the issue really needs a multi-sectoral response, everybody to take a responsibility, and also to have programs that actually educate the young girls themselves.
Beatrice, I do want to thank you so much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you so much.
That was Beatrice Sawajge, who is the director of Root, launching a campaign next week in hopes to end child marriages. This is Tatenda Gumbo. Thank you again so much for joining me on this Sunday. Have a wonderful weekend.
And in sports news, soccer fans are looking forward to the semi-finals of the One Wallet Soccer Tournament to be held at a date to be announced. Dynamo's How Mine, Triangle and Chickenin will play in the semis. Sports commentator Muziwetu Hadebe tells us more.
Well, I think it's been an exciting tournament. I think we have seen how the teams performed last year, thus determining how then they were going to play in the quarterfinals. And quite interesting that all the seeded teams, with the exception of Dynamos, were booted out of the tournament. That goes to show the level of competition that is there in the local league. The semifinals are expected to be played later on during the month of August, September. But in the meantime, the league is going to concentrate on the Kasilaga Premier League. So there's still a bit of time then for the teams to prepare.
And how much is it that will go to the winner of this tournament?
The winners are expected to collect 80,000, with the runners-up collecting 60,000. There is also 30,000 already for reaching the quarterfinals, while those who were knocked out in the quarterfinals, the likes of Highlanders, the likes of Harare City, the likes of Caps United, as well as FC Platinum, are expected to collect $20,000 each.
That was sports commentator Muziwetu Hadebe in Bulawayo. Blessing our Sunday evening, that was Maisha Ramba with Buruka. This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. Zimbabwe's Norman Mukwakwami, one of the 500 young African leaders on the Washington Fellowship, is selected to present a paper at a town hall meeting to be hosted by U.S. President Barack Obama in Washington tomorrow. That was the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, July 27th, 2014. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.